All right, everybody. Welcome to Green Legion Radio. I'm your host, Quimby, along with my astute panel of degenerates once again. Back from a long couple of weeks of traveling, but I did get my status up over platinum already on American Airlines. So now I'm going for Platinum Pro, and with any luck and a break in November, I might even get to executive platinum.
That'd be awesome. Just throw some flights my way, and that'll help you out.
I'm not giving you shit.
God damn it.
I'm not giving you shoot. Everybody, subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. Also, you can make us one of your favorites now on TuneIn Radio, as we are on there now. And I believe, in every way, shape, or form, this show is being broadcast live on TuneIn Radio. Cool thing that we're going to be able to do moving forward is we're going to be able to rotate all past episodes on TuneIn Radio. So if you just want to listen and don't really care about trying to pick an episode or remember something, just go right to TuneIn Radio to Green and search Green Legion Radio or put it in your favorites and click listen now, and it will continually play past episodes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Sounds awesome.
And that's the kind of stuff that gets your listening hours up and gets you through the roof. Again, we held at 61, probably because we didn't get TuneIn yet, but okay. I think with TuneIn and the next couple weeks, we're gonna crack top 50. I know that for a fact. And that's pretty
awesome.
We should,
yeah.
Yeah.
Once the season starts,
traffic
is picking up on all platforms.
Everything. Yes. So I'm going to rip through our sponsors tonight, get to our panel, get started on this show because we have a lot to cover, and we are going to get out of here in an hour because we're starting late. Green Legion Radio Show is brought to you by our amazing sponsors at Miller Lite. You know the deal. Drink Miller Lite. Stateside Vodka. You know the deal. Drink Stateside Vodka. Workhorse Brewing Company. You know the deal. Drink Workhorse Brewing Company. Rivers Casino, you know the deal. Go gamble there. Bucks County Baseball Company for all your retro gear. Cool shit. Go to J.P. Lutz's website, BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. If you want a new car, go see Mike McVay at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep. Go get drunk at all the Cavs restaurants with all our friends Pat Pavlicek, Ken Hutchings, Brian Pavlicek, and Pat working the basement bar on the Sansom location. Go to Delilah's and put dollar bills in their panties. Go to Manioc and drink at Bourbon Blue, the Bayou, and Cactus. And go get athletic in the Manioc Sport and Social Club leagues, the most social intramural leagues in the city. And then go back to the Bayou and Cactus and drink some more. Get your fitness on with all of our City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and East Market. Don't forget my good friend, my now $37,000 friend, Jari Evans at Somo Sophie. Our new partners, if we haven't talked about it or heard about it, Fourth and John and our boys over there. We are happy to be working alongside them this year. And also our good friend Sean Brace and Philly Influencer. If you want to know how to gamble, that's the man to talk to. And there's a little bit more coming up in the coming weeks where the Green Legion will have a segment on the radio station every week.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, okay. 20 to 25-minute segment. And, of course, Chickies and Pete's South Philadelphia and all locations. Remember, starting September 10th, we will be down there with a current player and Hollis and Pops and Rexy. And shut up, Diaz. And that's your introduction this week.
Thanks. Good things.
And, of course, Dave Spadaro will be with us on our first week. And I think he might be the first couple weeks now. We talked a little bit. And he's going to...
He was good when he was here.
He's great.
You know, listen, we're very polished. We're very polished
We're very polished.
Very polished. But, you know, he gets the same kind of questions from the same type of people. And we're asking, they're not stupid questions, but just, you know, not the regular crap that, you know, goes up on the TV and stuff like that.
So,
he had a good time.
I have no idea.
I don't know where he was going.
I was literally dismissing it.
Hey, get him a drink.
Thanks for pointing that out, Pops.
As we talked earlier, I already have the mute button all warmed up. Somebody's
getting it fast.
Diaz pointing directly
at Rex. After that speech, Diaz, you're pointing at me.
Listen, all the Philly Mike fans out there know what I'm saying.
All 122 of them on Twitter.
I salute you.
I'm glad they do. What the hell?
Hollis, what happened today in history, baby?
Today is August the 28th. It's the 240th day of the year. There's 125 days left. We go back to 1830 when the very first American-built locomotive It was called Tom Thumb. It was raised by a horse. Mm. And guess who won? It was raised by a horse from Baltimore to Elkhart Mills. The horse won because the locomotive had mechanical issues. Ah, see?
Sounds like something.
go to 1942 with the ninth NFL Chicago All-Star Game. This All-Star Game was between the NFL champion and all of the college All-Stars. The All-Stars actually lost 21-0, but there was 101,000 people there to watch an All-Star game.
Nice. Wow.
Yes.
That is cool.
And this is I would be remiss if I didn't mention that today in 1963 – Martin Luther King did his "I Have a Dream" speech in front of Lincoln Memorial.
Oh wow!
That is one of the most important and critical moments in this history.
Yes,
in this country, 100%.
You go to another important moment in history, 1973. Marvin Gaye's album "Let's Get It On" came out, and I guess
didn't he beat girls left and right though?
I don't know. I think he. I don't think
he had a problem.
Did he? I don't think
he had a porn addiction.
I think yes.
Hi.
Moving along. I mean, who doesn't?
All right. And, 1987, Mike Schmidt passes Ted Williams and Willie McCovin with 522 home runs. And he got a couple of birthdays here. Quick birthdays. You have Roxy Roker, 1927. You remember Roxy?
I don't want you quick anything.
Okay. So I'll slow it down for you.
That a boy.
Oh, yeah.
In 1921, Nancy Culp. That's Miss Hathaway from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, okay.
All right.
1943, David Soul.
What was the name of the blonde I wanted to blast out every year?
Annie Mae.
Okay.
Family fun friendly hour.
1943,
blast
David
out?
Soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, hold on. I'm getting it out of the way now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We got a couple of more shows.
We got a couple more shows. 1965, Shania Twain. 1969, Jack Black. 1982,
I love Jack
Leanne
Black,
Rains. And I got a couple of holidays. Today's National Holiday is Bow Tie Day. Today is
Rex. You're wearing a bow tie at the Lyles tonight.
Dear bow tie killer.
read a comic in public. Red Wine Day, and will you lend a hand? Today is Will You Lend a Hand Wednesday. It's the last Wednesday of every August.
Again, how do we always get to hand? Something.
The hand jobs.
Lend a hand.
something.
Hey, crackers on your keyboard.
Crackers on your keyboard.
That's a racist.
That's
statement,
racist, sir.
No, it's today. You're supposed to eat crackers over your keyboard.
I didn't see it.
You're supposed to eat crackers over your keyboard.
Yeah, this was
that
holiday
is the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever heard in my life.
I thought of when you said it. I was like, ooh.
Sackmaster, time for you to call, baby. Everybody, we're going to go through a few things today. Going to talk about the Phillies, obviously, starting off the segment. Then we're going to get into some Green Legion trip updates before we go to break. When we come back, We're definitely going to talk about no luck in Indianapolis, and we're getting into the Eagles. We got a really packed show. There's some really cool stuff that we're going to be talking about tonight. So please, by all means, stay with us and pay attention because it's going to be a good one. Sackmaster, what's up, baby?
I'm just over here laughing, hearing about Philly Mike talk about his list of fans and thinking about Ken Jeong looking at that small little scroll that he has in his hands as that one gift.
There is no list. It's an endless stream. It's an endless stream of Philly Mike fans out there, Sam. Okay, so what are you going to apologize for the Phillies for this week?
No. We talked about this. No. All right, Chris. Just go ahead. Lay into Reese.
I'll come back
Get
tomorrow
it.
When he's done.
Get it. Lay into him.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Reese then. Okay. So before tonight's 2-for-3 breakout so far with a triple-double, an RBI and two runs scored, Reese has been batting .130 in the month of August and .166 in the second half. That's putrid. Pathetic. And last night, with that error that cost us the game, was the straw that broke the camel's back. I was booing Reese 2 weeks ago at the ballpark. If I was there last night, I think he would have went home crying into his pillow.
It was I love Buttercup.
I'll give the man credit, okay? He stood in front of his locker last night, and he took it like a man. But if anybody heard the audio, he talked about how the throw was a little low.
Oh, God.
In what world was that throw low?
Yeah, it wasn't low.
It's not like you had to scoop it. It wasn't in the dirt. You might have to kneel a little bit, but,
I'm sorry. I got to tell you, I was at Coconut Joe's on Grand Cayman, and I didn't watch a damn bit of that game.
Can I ask you a quick question, Chris? What did you think about Rodriguez coming out talking about the fan?
Hold on.
Pump the brakes.
He's been waiting for this. Get him. Chris, sick him.
All right. Now here's another thing. So before his miracle walk-off the other night, who I blasted when they actually walked him on four pitches in the ninth inning, and I made that post. I said, who walks Sean Rodriguez on four pitches? And then I wake up the next morning, I find out he hits the walk-off. He doesn't need to hear that, though. Okay? Yeah. Rodriguez had primarily been kept on this roster to face left-handers. Okay, in his previous 15 at-bats against left-handers, he had 10 strikeouts and only one hit, which was a single. Mm. Okay, so I stated this the other day on my Facebook
impressive.
That Rodriguez is the 2019 version of the 2008 So Taguchi.
Both of their
Phillies tenures are and were forgettable in nature outside of one shining moment that they each had, and Rodriguez blew his one moment the minute he opened his mouth after the game.
Yep, exactly.
You are a guy that is batting .224. And most of us have been linking the only reason why you're still on this roster to the fact that you used to be teammates with Kapler. For a guy who has done next to nothing in a Phillies uniform to speak about the conduct of the fans who are beyond frustrated with this team as it is, after his only moment of mention this season, is stupid on his part, yet comical as they continue to fuel the fire of why people hate this team and don't believe in them to begin with.
Chris. But he has beautiful hair.
He had beautiful flowing mane. But to help you out, Chris, he's been 1 of 20 his last 20 at bats.
Wow. Yes.
Brutal.
He was horrible.
All right. Hey, Chris, is there anything else you want to talk about when it comes to drilling Reese? Because I have a question, and I think this is up for table for the entire panel.
Okay.
Is it getting to the point, is this more than a slump, and is this starting to make you wonder if we really have first base covered with this team? Hold on. Diaz, what do you think?
I don't know, man. I'm still pissed off about third base because Franco got sent down, and I've been bitching about it all year. Do we really think that if he has that, it's his third year? He seems to do that. He did this last year too, right?
He's a streaky player.
Yeah.
He's a streaky player.
But when he's on, it's not that. No.
House.
Yeah. Well, you know, his last home run until the Miami game hadn't been till since July the 4th. They want to say August the 4th or July 4th.
August 4th.
But you know what? I still like him. I think he's going to grow into that first base we need. But I think that we need that the manager needs to quit moving him up and down the damn lineup.
Right.
He belongs in the three, four. He belongs in the middle of the lineup. You can't keep putting him at the beginning of shit like that.
Pops.
Yeah, I think it just seemed like it's a mental thing right now for him.
Yeah.
What I did notice was
his confidence is shot.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a damn clue.
I think if they work with him and allow him, like you said, to stay at one place within the lineup, I don't have a problem with where he's at, but, you know, he has to get better.
Chris, before we get your opinion on that, Rexy, do you have any leadership comments about this?
No, I was going to say, I think his confidence is shot.
Moving on.
Also, but
where's that Rexy mute button when you need it, you know? Stop cutting in all the time, Rex.
Jeez. That's bad.
Rex eruptions all the time.
I thought you wanted to hear a joke? Move on.
I thought putting him in the leadoff position was a bad thing for a guy whose confidence was already in question.
Yeah, we all know. Chris, fill us in on the rest.
So I've been saying this for probably about the last month. I've been putting out like what I would do for my lineup, and I've said all along: JT, Harper, Hoskins. Now, ideally, I wanted them as 3-4-5. But if you look at tonight's lineup, they're 2-3-4, and here we go. We have 10 runs on the board. I just think that it's a better balance of a lineup, and the boppers need to be in the middle of the lineup.
Boppers.
And if Reese can get himself going with the hot bats of Real Muto and Harper. They need to get it going now. If you were going to bench him and give him a night off, tonight would be the night, with the day off tomorrow. But they have 30 games left to play, and they have a huge weekend series with the Mets on tap, three-game series, and I'm sure the Mets are going to be trotting out all their aces against us. They need him to get going.
Would it suggest that Hoskins might be better served in the three-hole because of the two hot bats behind him and not being able to pitch around him to get to Harper or to get to Real Muto. Is that, does that hold any water? Is that a viable observation? Would the three-hole, because you've never heard in any discussions that Hoskins should be in a three-hole. But as you said, Chris, Harper and JT have been two of the hottest hitters in baseball for the last almost month. Wouldn't that be the smarter move, even though nobody's ever actually talked about it?
Well, if you want to take it as like how their lineup and the lineup as it is, Hoskins has had Real Muto and Harper behind him, but they've been batting second and third behind him when he's been batting leadoff. He's not your prototypical leadoff hitter, and we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. He's just not. He sees a lot of pitches. Yes, he works a lot of walks. He's first in the National League in walks, but he should not be up there. To boost his confidence, you need to put runners on base in front of him again and give him an opportunity to drive them in. And that's what we've kind of seen tonight, you know, a double and a triple. I mean, how many times? I think Reese leads the team in triples. How the hell does that happen?
But no big lumbering. But I think what Quimby said was probably correct, because he leads the league in walks, so he would get on base and the hot bats behind him would bring him on.
It would just suggest that you can't pitch around Hoskins at that point. You're going to have to pitch him. You're going to have to serve him a meatball at some point in time, especially if he gets deep into the count.
I
don't know that. I don't know baseball like I know football. I certainly don't know basketball like I know baseball, and I certainly don't care about hockey as much as I'd rather pluck my own eyebrows at this point.
That's better. Look at you
and
growing and learning.
You made me a Flyers correspondent for that. Thanks, Quimby.
Yeah.
That was our Flyers minute.
Hey, can't wait for you to take over the official Flyers correspondent job, Chris. But moving on from there. Now that we have talked about the shining dump on the team, put your knee pads on and talk about JT.
Okay. Oh wait, man.
Let me put on my raincoat.
Wait. I thought this was a...
I need my umbrella. Hold up.
Friendly.
Let me put on my...
It's a wrestling match.
Let me put on my galoshes.
Hey, Diaz, are you still backed up from your honeymoon?
Oh, look at that. What a sack comment of recycling jokes from 3 weeks ago. Good job, buddy.
I don't know, man.
I thought
he had one that he could scrap with the first one tonight.
Mike, you're a metamucil. Yeah. You're a metamucil.
Smooth move, X-Lax.
I don't think that's what he was talking about, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, talk about JT.
Let's talk, okay? He leads all catchers in game started, at-bats, runs scored, hits, doubles, RBI, and even in stolen bases with 7. He's 5th in home runs, leads the league with 40 base runners caught stealing. The next closest is at 22.
Jesus.
A week ago, he led all Major League Baseball catchers in WAR, ranked 7th among all NL position players and 13th among all Major League Baseball players, position players. Klentak said when they acquired him via trade that you want to date somebody first before you marry them. When he was asked about signing him to an extension, unlike Diaz, Klentak needs to consummate this marriage and extend this man as soon as possible.
Wow! How long did it take for you to type all that out?
He said, "Seal the deal."
Doesn't matter, man. It sounded great.
It
I'm
did.
Not gonna lie.
It did. And remember to get your pet spayed and neutered.
That's right.
You guys didn't know, but we have guests in the house. Bob Barker tonight.
The price is wrong.
The price is wrong.
I mean, they got
son of an onion.
It's nice, man. If they could get Hoskins going, though, I'm not the one that asked. If you ask Rob V, I'm not the one to ask to find the solution. But they have to if they're going to do anything. If they're going to get to the playoff game and then maybe win a series or whatever, they got to hit, because they're not the pitching.
They got to hit.
Pitching is just not going to do it. Like this looks great, 10-3 against Pittsburgh.
But it's Pittsburgh.
They're going to have to hit their way. You know, they're going to have to hit 10. They're going to hit plus six runs every night.
This game needs to be over, because I don't want Rexy having any flashbacks from Pittsburgh and running over to the bridge somewhere and saying, I can make it.
I can make it. Really? Oh, dear Lord, man.
A game like this kind of frustrates you, though, because like they were up 7-0 on Friday, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was brutal.
And Vince Velasquez blows a game. He blows a 7-run lead in a third of an inning in the third inning. So does Gabe learn his lesson when you're up 8-2? No.
No.
Sixth inning, he brings in Austin Davis.
Oh, God.
Austin Davis, okay, who's been on this team more time, almost as much times, seven times. He's been on this team seven times this year. As many times as he's pitched innings this season, which is nine.
Is that legal?
You have to. Yes, that's how many times they've opted him up and down.
Austin Davis or Austin Powers?
The guy, he's collecting his frequent flyer miles.
Wow. Hey, he's platinum now, too.
He's a man, baby.
Go ahead, Chris. Say the last part again.
No, I'm just my point is you have an off day tomorrow, right?
Uh-huh.
So you have 12 outs to get.
Right.
You throw out your best four pitchers at the end of this game. Velasquez pitched decent for you for five.
Right.
You take your best four pitchers, and you get the last 12 outs, and you take the day off tomorrow, and you prepare for the Mets. I don't understand. Why are you throwing Davis out there in the sixth inning for it? It makes no sense.
Yeah, just what I thought he was coming around. He goes and does that. I have one last question for you. What's up? What the hell's up with Scott Kingery?
He was hanging out with Joel Embiid the other night and had a little gastrointestinal problem. So. Yeah, they're going to change his name from Scotty Jetpacks to Scotty Skidmarks.
Also, he had to take a dump.
Yes.
A one too many dump.
Family friendly. Chris, real quick before we let you go, this is for Hollis. Yeah, the Phillies are still just two games out of that second wild card spot. Huh? Let's
quit saying this.
I'm going to go on record.
I'm the closest one to him. Don't upset him like that, all right?
We have to, and Sack, this is something we do agree on something sometimes. If they make the playoff game and lose, that doesn't count as a playoff appearance in my book. You got to get to the series.
We're not going
to
make the playoffs. We can't even get on a four-game win, a five-game
win. Oh, listen, Hollis, I don't have any faith in this team. We all know that. But I'm saying if they do qualify for the play-in game, we'll call it the play-in game, not the playoff game.
Playoffs? So I'm just hoping we win a game.
So in a situation like that, then Gabe can put that on his resume as a playoff appearance.
Play-in appearance, yeah.
Right next to his swimsuit fucking portfolio.
Yeah, I can see him asking.
Quimby, you spend a lot of time on Gabe's website?
Whatever,
there,
dude. He's sexy. That's the best
I part
about him.
Yesterday on Twitter that FanGraphs put out there that it's like the wild card contenders and like the Nationals, like where they're at, they're like 96% chance that they're going to make the playoffs. And then ranked ahead of the Phillies are the Mets, the Cubs, and I believe it was the Brewers.
The
Phillies have a 6.2% chance of making it just to the wild card game. And if you get there and you play the Nationals, you're more than likely going to get Scherzer.
You're going to get? Destroyed. Right, you're going to get a buttload of buses of Phillies fans coming down from
Citizens Bank Park South.
Yep.
We're going to go watch that destruction. And I guarantee you, we're going to get our ass kicked.
It's okay. We'll go down and tear that stadium a new ass.
Good.
Because they owe, I owe them.
At least somebody.
I owe the Nationals.
At least somebody's going to win. Yeah. At least somebody wins. We win the game, but we're going to win somewhere.
Yeah. That's all home game there. That's
we'll win the
like Jets week, so you should be able to make it. Yeah.
Too many people talking at one time, but that's okay. We'll get back to this. Chris, brother, we love you, man, and we will talk to you next week. Appreciate you calling in as always, sir.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks again. And, look forward to next week.
All right.
We'll see you, Chris.
All right. Real quick before we take our first break, Green Legion updates. This is important. We had a big purchase today with tailgates for Green Bay. We only have, and this is a legit number, 10 Green Bay tailgate spots left, and everything is completely closed up. So when you reach out to me next week, which you will, and you say, hey, is there anything you can do? I will merely say no. And I will send the email.
It's the best time of the year because all of the ones that I don't tell you about that they come in and ask on Facebook, if I say no and delete it quick just so you won't see them. But seriously, sold out means sold out.
Sold out does mean sold out. It's been officially announced right now. There is a party going on in Atlanta on Saturday afternoon, the 14th of September, hosted by Mr. Carlos Emmons and one Hollis Tank Thomas.
Oh, awesome sauce.
At B51, that's Carlos Emmons Bar in Buckhead. It is a private party as of right now. The private party entails anybody that has purchased something with the Green Legion, that's 320 people on that trip right now, and our illustrious and reputable fan clubs down in Atlanta and Smyrna, Atlanta, Delphia, and our good friend Lolita Yagnik there, and Ryan Marshak from Smyrnadelphia. So here's the deal. If you want to get into that party, plan on waiting in line, because we're going to RSVP that. Smyrnadelphia has 850 members. Atlantadelphia has over 1,000. We have 320. His place holds 600. So be prepared. You be prepared.
I will be.
All right, good. And there may be another guest there. I am currently working on that. We'll see if Carlos steps up with his best friend, Takeo Spikes. That is what we are working on right now. I do believe we will make that happen before the 14th. And if we don't, I might figure out a way to do something else. Because
we'll work something out.
That's what we do and who we are. And nice little announcement that took place at around 3:45 today. We officially eclipsed over 1,400 people total for Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Perfect. Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, man, that's good stuff. Yeah. That's good stuff. We will be at 2,500 people on that tailgate by the time we get there. There is just no
2,500?
Way. Yeah, people. It will be by far and away the largest.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
The largest tailgate that we have ever run.
Congrats.
Yep. And we're looking forward to that. But everybody, we're going to take a short break here on Green Legion Radio. Right after Diaz.
Well, I'm just saying, we got another Green Legion announcement. Our shop is opening up tomorrow.
If it's not written down, Diaz, I don't remember.
I know. It was announced after the sheet was run. But yeah, we'll look out tomorrow. We'll make an announcement. You'll be able to order right away.
Talk to them about everything that's being offered there, because it's a lot more than what we're accustomed to.
We're going
to
add stuff, and we're even going to offer people to send Lutz email suggestions of things they want. But we got Green Legion Radio gear and some swag. We got
regular Green Legion gear.
Green Legion. Oh, yeah. Plenty of regular Green Legion stuff. We're doing
Green Legion,
we have a nice
Invasion Tour shirt.
Invasion Tour. Yeah, kind of like a music.
Don't forget
like a concert
Awesome
team.
Sauce t-shirts.
The limited edition signed Hollis Thomas Awesome
Sauce. Awesome sauce.
Shirts.
They will be ready right away. We also have pint glasses, shot glasses.
Nice.
Flasks. We got some stickers. Oh. We'll have some car decals. We'll just add to it as we go. But this is just, let's get it up and running and get people what they want.
All right. All right. Sounds awesome, man. And I got to tell you right now, so you guys know, I didn't want any part of a store. Diaz pushed for that, and I'm glad he did. And appreciate you putting all that effort in, brother.
No problem, man. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back with more Green Legion Radio right after this.
All right.
All right, everybody. We're back for our second and last segment of Green Legion Radio for the evening. Yeah, we're busting through this tonight. We're going to try to keep these shows at the concentrated 1 hour and 15 minutes, because I believe everybody... I think we can get through it. I think it's a lot more. Excuse me, miss. Who are you? And why are you talking?
All professional here. This is professional pod.
Yeah.
All
right. That was an ad.
Thank God. Thank God I've got two computers in front of me, and I don't know how to use either one of them. Guys, this is something interesting that we want to talk about, and I'm sure everybody's blasted this up since it took place a couple days ago. But I find it extremely interesting, bold. Andrew Luck. Okay. Well, hold on a second. Okay. Now, not everybody has the resilience that you have. Okay. How many times were you broken?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Six.
But how many times have I played with injury?
Well,
all the time.
Doesn't every player play with injury for the most part?
I'm not faulting him about that. I just fault him for the way it came out. And it's like, just hear me out for a second. No, just hear me out for a second, because in this day and age of social media, if that's what you were thinking, you're not supposed to tell anybody until you're ready to tell everybody.
Okay, so let's assume right now that I don't know anything about what took place other than Diaz says.
Oh, okay. Let me break it down to you. Okay, this is how it came out. In the middle of a preseason game that the fans have played full price for. You over on the sideline, bending and grinning like you're going to be here. So all of a sudden, it comes out on social media that you're from Adam Schefter that you're retiring, and so people start looking at him. You see kids crying. You see people looking at him. It's like with his jersey on, because they think he's playing. dude, and they start booing him. And it's like...
So that came out during the middle of the preseason game.
Yes, yeah, yeah. While he was grinning and grinning on the sideline. Like he couldn't be there. Schefter, that's why it was. That's the only reason I'm saying. But go ahead. Go ahead, Diaz.
Schefter put out a... Schefter got the scoop from someone inside. Now, it was in a concentrated group. It wasn't like this is widely known. But, you know... His agent, the owner, the head coach, the GM, you know.
Too many people.
And that might be too many people because then they're going to tell one person and whisper down the lane kind of thing. Schefter got the info on Saturday. The deal was he was going to announce his retirement Sunday.
So Schefter, hold on, let me get this straight.
Yes.
Schefter posted this during the middle of the game?
Yes. Correct.
Yes. What?
So people.
A dick.
Yes.
He got the news. He's not going to sit on it. If it goes to somewhere else.
Actually, he should.
It's his job.
He could sit on it until the end of the game.
But see, that's
somebody else
gave it to him. See, that somebody.
That's his job, man.
He paid somebody for the info. That's what I'm saying. When you do it like that, it's a concentrated info. It's like when you're a star like that, and you've made so much to that team in that city, you owe it to them to at least tell them, here it comes from your mouth.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. Means so much to that city. Unfortunately, that's all that city has.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
Because let's be honest. He's not. He's come up short.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Right.
He's been good. He's really only played like 5 years.
Stop
he's
it.
Been good.
Nah. He's been, okay. Yeah. You're right. He's been good.
He's been good.
I will tell you, I just hate the thing when everybody's comparing him to greatness. He's not great. He's good. Like Diaz said, he's good. That's it.
Rex.
He was out for a while.
He's a leader, right?
He was the comeback player of the year last year.
Which makes this puzzling.
What kills me, I'm going to go ahead and get mine off my chest now.
Yeah.
I'm getting sick of turning on ESPN, and it seems like Friends episodes is over. Friends is over. It's like you got to be kidding me. It's like you're comparing him to like Johnny Unitas. Even Peyton Manning, that's disrespectful. You legitimately played 6 seasons.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason they did that was a little bit more about Colts quarterbacks and where does he place around Unitas. And, listen, that's because they're trying to have a show. They're just trying to have content there. Mm. You know, you talk about, wow, this is shocking. And the point that you were saying, Quimby, was, you know, it bold, you know, on it's unusual. You're not sure, like, hey, good for him if he wants to. But, man, that's there seems like there could have been another avenue. It sounds to me that, like, so people inside the organization from like the top mm-hmm. levels knew that this might have been a possibility going back to the spring.
I guarantee, maybe not the organization itself, right. But I guarantee on the home front,
right.
he probably said, oh, my God, if this happens again, I'm done. He's already made his money.
Yeah.
You know, be smart with it now.
His dad's a former player.
Yeah.
His dad is the commissioner
of the NFL.
Yeah. Because his dad was.
He's the new one that's coming out.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah, because he was one of the original guys who went on strike to get the
Looks
NFL.
Looks like the clipboard's going to be in Andrew Luck's hand. Huh?
You know it. But when you look at the way this is going, only person that probably knew was Frank Reich. Yeah, because he talked to Frank Reich, and I didn't see it coming because I felt like he was coming off an injury from two years removed from an injury, and so I thought he was going to try to show everybody like me that he was a superstar, and he's just a regular quarterback to me.
And I'm going to say this right now regarding Frank Reich,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, love you, man, thanks, you know, and go to hell for leaving.
You got a head coaching job.
Guess what? Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
And go to hell.
Well, if you know anything, that's Philadelphia Midwest right there. They got the GM is from here. A lot of the players they got.
Greg Zell.
And we're going to get into that when Chris we talk Ballard, tonight man. About the quarterback position, which is our focus on our segment.
Because
I'm wondering how much Nate Sudfeld might be worth and whether or not Howie Roseman can pull a Sammy Sleeves on Indianapolis like he did on Minnesota.
I think they're happy with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
They like Brissett.
They love Brissett.
They really do.
Another 4-11 season, I don't.
I think they're going to be, they'll uh-huh. be 8-8, 9-7. They're going to be, which isn't great.
They're going to be the Phillies.
Yeah, they're going to be a bad good team or a good bad team or something like that.
You know, they picked up some quality weapons. I think they got a decent running game and they got a good defense. So
until Harrison comes back, I don't know what's
going to
happen.
Well, the weird thing is it's just one of those things where they can go either way. They can be 10-6 or 8-8.
Some people had them
exclusive space modulator.
Wow, we're nerding out over here.
Whatever, dude. I'm a Looney Tunes fan.
Some people pick the Colts as a Super Bowl, you know, contender.
Until now.
What do you mean?
Hold up, guys. Yes, that is correct. So that's what, 12-4, 13-3. Jacoby Brissett is not good as Andrew Luck, but he's not some bum. He's not a terrible quarterback. With their defense, like Kyle said, with some of the weapons they have, they've got a great offensive line now. You know, 8-8, 9-7, they will be a playoff contender as opposed to an AFC favorite.
They will go absolutely nowhere.
let's put a bet on the board. Put it on the board.
I'll bet you whatever amount of money you want right now. A, they don't win the division, and B, they don't make the playoffs.
That's not what I said. I said they go 8-8, 9-7. They'd be a playoff.
That means season over, useless.
Yeah, that's fine, but in week ten when they're 6-4.
In week 10 when you're bitching at me for losing $1,000 6 weeks later or seven weeks later.
I'm not betting that. What I'm saying is they're not going to be 3-13 or 4-12.
So basically,
I think they're going to be around 8-8.
So basically,
you're saying that they're going to get a participation trophy.
Sort of, yeah. They're going to contend for a playoff spot. They're not going to be
so. Let me ask you this question then. What was that record with Andrew Luck being a comeback player of the year?
Hold on a second. Real quick.
Go ahead.
Beautiful hair.
Thank you. I just got it.
Looking at Sean Rodriguez, though.
I just watched him let it down.
I wonder if they're booing him.
Pops, what was your question again?
I asked him their record from last season. He said it was 10-6.
That's right.
10-6.
Well, that's not no world killer.
Well, okay.
What I did not want to do tonight was go into the Indianapolis. Rexy, thanks for not interrupting. You just did. You tried not to. The leadership, what do you got to say?
No, I was going to say that we're arguing about Andrew Luck when we should be talking about how injuries affect a player's ability to play and how the longevity of his career.
Oh, yeah, we have to talk about the injury-debilitated Barry Sanders.
No, I actually wanted to talk about because you have firsthand knowledge about why a lot of these players, the whole segment tonight was going to be those players that retired before –
Before their time.
Okay. I did not see, but I saw a ticker last night.
Right.
Something with Gronk.
Right.
Admitting something, and did that have to do with just the injury? But what was going on there?
Well, what happened? He's going to be a CBD oil representative, and so one of his first speeches was him not being able to move after the Super Bowl. But you got to realize Gronk has had about 9 to 10 surgeries.
Oh yeah,
and major surgeries. Like I'm not talking about I've torn muscles and I've broken fingers and I've shattered metatarsals. He's had knees,
shoulders,
elbows, the whole shebang. But he's a walking injury. So I can understand where he's coming from. And Andrew Luck, he's had the injury bug. And he going through rehab. You do go through this dark.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Going through the rehab that Andrew Luck is speaking of.
Shoulder.
It's brutal. Because I tore my bicep at the top.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it's like, it's brutal. It's like you go to some dark places. Like you see everybody patting the guy that's playing your position on the back and stuff. And it's like you go to a part where they really not paying you no attention. It's just like, hey.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Yeah, but then you come around and say, hey, we want you to come around. Yeah, right. You've been blowing my phone up. And you just go to a dark period of by yourselfness. Yeah, I mean, you got some money and stuff to fuel it with, to fill that hole with some stuff.
And let's run through these players because these are great mentions because these are marquee players,
right?
And we find out that a lot of them are running backs. And
right.
I think we understand running back takes more pounding than any position player there is.
Yeah, but if you got one on the list, he just quit because they were losing. Sanders quit because they were losing.
Oh yeah. Quick tidbit about that.
Hold on a second. Well, thank you for jumping the gun until I get to it.
Go ahead.
But when you get to him, I do have something.
All right. Well, Tiki Barber. I never understood that one.
Yeah. He was a jerk too.
Yeah.
He was a jerk, and he's a giant.
I know, but
on the way out, he was talking trash about the squad. And the next year, when he left, guess what they did? They won the Super Bowl.
That was a move for him, I guess, considering himself trying to fire the coach.
Right.
With Tom Coughlin.
You think he would have come back?
If 35 Tom Coughlin, yeah.
Yeah, because he said back. He was talking about how Eli Manning wasn't a real leader and how he had to talk to him about, you know, giving a pregame speech and just all just a bunch of negative stuff. He pretended like he wanted to leave to become an actor. But as soon as that ended, as soon as he left, he jumped behind the mic and started criticizing the Giants.
Right.
It's like Major League 2, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I got you. All right, this is interesting because it seems like Detroit is where just about every career goes to die.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson first, just one of the greatest receivers of all time, and just said, like, why would you not even attempt to get out of your get traded, do something?
Yeah,
be
because
a
they
dick.
Were going to cut him. They were going to cut him, either cut him or try to trade him.
Well,
because he would do like $16 or $17 million that upcoming season.
Yeah, but I think the thing was they weren't going to do that because he's Megatron.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that.
You can't cut him.
You can't. Right. You're not going to cut
him. If you cut him, then you have just alienated your entire fan base.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, and when you look at it, too, I think he was just tired. He had a lot of injuries that he played with, but then it was like they were doing nothing to better themselves.
They did nothing to better that team at all.
And it's just it's like when you see that, it's really bad as a player.
Yeah. All right. Well, where careers go to die. Barry Sanders.
Well, actually.
Get him, Pops.
Actually, the Raiders is where your career go to die. Yeah. If you don't start there, if you go there later, your career is over. Barry, go ahead. You had some?
No, I mean, I was just kind of an observation on these. It may be Terrell Davis, all these players. When we, you know, they retire before their time. You know, what we always kind of forget is, isn't like the average NFL career three and a half years?
Yeah.
So just think of all the guys. Now, these guys
are
popular.
When we say retiring before the time, retiring while they're still healthy and a viable position player in the NFL.
No, I hear you. And they're still available. They can still make money. They can still go through it.
They can contribute.
They can contribute.
In a big way.
Mm-hmm. All these guys can walk away, you know, after knowing that they can sign another contract. They got millions and millions of dollars. You know, at the time, they're all different, years.
No, Terrell Davis couldn't.
Yeah. He was injured. He's 100%
injured.
Well,
no, and he also had chronic migraines in that.
Yeah,
It was his knees because he was one of the first people to get a fully guaranteed contract, and he kept coming back because of that contract.
Yeah.
Right. Then ultimately, he ended up selling.
Out of this list that we're looking at here, he's the one guy that you would say is mainly because of injuries.
I want Pops to finish his Barry Sanders, and then I want to talk about a name that you brought up, which is the most interesting one on this, Chris Borland.
Yeah, from the 49ers. Yeah. He's a linebacker. But my story with Barry was, I'd never forget, it was when the Eagles weren't having a pretty good season. I want to say that it was like maybe Ray Rose last year.
Yeah.
And they played Detroit. I remember someone had 6 tackles against him that game. The score was terrible. The score was like 9-6 or 3-9. And I remember Barry Sanders in the talking to the reporter, and he said, "We're better than this team. I know that we can do better than this." And he requested a trade at the end of that season. They refused. He was trying to go to Washington. This was during the time of North Turner. They refused him. They requested that he return $3 million of his signing bonus money. He brought it back in cash.
Yep.
5 years later, they said, it might have been 3 years, "We will trade you to any team that you want to come – any team that you want to come to." And he told them, his response was, "I'm retired."
Yep.
But Eagles, you can attribute that to that loss to the Eagles that year. Because the Eagles weren't having a good year that year, but they were on the
– look at you.
They were on the cusp.
Look at this guy. This guy in the corner over here.
Yeah, that's where it was at.
I led the team in tackles that year.
Yep.
Stud.
That was Barry.
Stud.
But he walked out, but he was healthy. But I don't remember Barry having a lot of injuries, but he was just tired of the constant – you know, win 10-11 games, first round exit in the playoffs.
And the key to what he just said is, the quarterback was Charlie Batch.
Oh, Charlie Batch.
who don't love a soft batch?
Wow.
Who don't love a soft batch cooking?
Who doesn't love pouring salt in an open wound? Wow. Chris Borland.
Okay.
All right, that is an interesting, interesting player.
Yeah.
Guy comes out of Wisconsin?
Ohio. Ohio State.
It was Ohio?
Ohio State. Definitely Ohio State.
And he had a hell of a rookie campaign with the 49ers and then hung his hat.
Yeah.
Rexy.
Ironically, he replaced Willis.
Yeah. Patrick Willis, who retired.
Oh, who retired at 30.
Yeah, at 30, yeah.
All right.
But he was still in his prime, though, but he was starting to have a bad headache. So.
Who, Patrick Willis?
Yeah.
That's not why he retired, though.
Why he retired?
He retired because
San Francisco was doing nothing.
They reverted back to what they were beforehand because the 49ers defense was in the top 10 all the way up until Harbaugh got there. Mm-hmm. Once they prepared and made it to the Super Bowl and then the NFC Championship game, and then Harbaugh left. He didn't want to be part of rebuilding stages.
Yeah, right.
Because even though Justin Smith was older guy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He left that team in a shambles.
Almost worse than
Kaepernick.
It was management. It was management. They was trading guys for three.
It seems kind of funny.
$300 in a bucket of sunflower seeds.
think about that for a second. We make fun of Detroit. But you want to talk about a storied franchise that has just become abysmal. It's the 49ers.
Yeah, it started with RG3, believe it or not.
What's Garoppolo?
Garoppolo.
Yeah, but
He's terrible.
When they went into shambles? When they pretty much indicted Eddie DeBarlo.
I was going to say it's Eddie DeBarlo.
Yeah, once they got rid of him. And then he also bought the Cleveland Browns, and then they was like, you can no longer be an NFL owner.
You can't do that. Because
he ended up having to sell it. Go ahead, Pops.
Actually, my thing was, it got to the point where what happened was the year they lost the Super Bowl, they were trying to trade Harbaugh for the number 2 pick.
And their coach.
And they were going to get RG3. And when he found out about it, he wanted general manager or vice president of player personnel in order to control his own destiny. They would not give it to him. And between him and York, it was just like a cat fight.
This whole thing, it's kind of an interesting segment. I'm actually happy that we dove into this one. That's cool. But you know what? Hey, to Andrew Luck.
Good luck.
Good luck to you, baby.
Yeah, because now that you mention it, when you speak about the 49ers, 3 of them are actually on this list.
Yeah. And 49ers and the Lions. Yeah. They are leading the pack when it comes to the retired players before you would think they would retire.
Yeah.
But anyway, for our last segment, we're going to move on here.
Right to the Eagles, baby.
Yes.
And we're going to get into the quarterback situation right after this question because Diaz brought it up in our green room before we started talking.
Okay.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
What would you give up for him if he isn't traded before?
Well, he's not been traded.
2.5 hours.
He has not been traded.
He's not been traded
yet.
What would you give up for him?
Would you do like a player and a pick, 2 players?
I would have to
player?
Go. I would have to go to a couple of draft pick, and if anything, I would let go of Vitae. But I'm not letting none of my offensive weapons go.
I know.
You consider Vitae an offensive weapon? What's wrong with you?
They need offensive.
Just give him up.
They need offensive linemen. He's been playing pretty good.
Time to get Jordan up
or running back. What about Jordan Howard?
Jordan is slotted right behind Vitae.
Well,
what about Jordan Howard? They need running backs.
Cut his mic off. Thank you.
They need running backs.
And he's been muted.
Lamar Miller just blew out his ACL.
I know, but they still got Deonta Foreman.
They released him before the preseason.
Here's what I don't know because I just have not been paying any attention whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Why is Clowney's name been out there constantly?
He was franchised.
He hasn't signed it.
He hasn't signed a franchise tag.
But
he's holding.
So they said, "F you."
Yeah, but to help you guys out with this, it's too many other players in it. They have too many assets. The Washington Redskins are in it. Trent Williams is yet to report to camp because they misdiagnosed an injury.
That's right.
So they need an offensive tackle. Okay. And guess who just entered? The Miami Dolphins. They have a couple of offensive linemen that the Texans are interested in.
Yes. Amazing.
Is Sue still down in Miami?
No. He just went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He's with the Bucs.
Yeah.
One at a time.
Yeah. No. I was going to say the funny thing about him going to the Buccaneers was the guy who got picked right after him during the same draft. He went to the Carolina Panthers. So they actually end up getting Sue anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Gerald McCoy.
Yeah. Well, Sue is nowhere near the player.
No.
He's nasty. He's still nasty, though.
He's nasty, but he's nowhere near the player.
No, he still can crush the pocket. I wouldn't mind having him, put it that way. He would destroy the middle.
All right. Well, let's talk about this.
Okay.
Last week we started a segment. We talked about defensive line. We were happy to have Big Dog talking about that from all his experiences. And Diaz mentioned this week we should talk about the quarterback situation.
Yeah, why not?
It is interesting. And
it's more than you think.
It is more than you think because, all right, as all of us know, I was a big proponent of not letting Nick Foles go.
Right.
I will tell you right now, I am still that proponent. Now, we're not going to hash this up and debate it again.
It's over, so we're not talking.
It's over. He's in Jacksonville. He finally threw a touchdown pass in the last preseason game. Yay, my first one with Jacksonville. So Carson Wentz is your guy. And the question is, will we ever see the magical sophomore season again? Now, okay, let's admit, truth be told, not 100% last year.
Right. No, right. Never.
The whole, God, the first 4 or 5 weeks of last season were so effed up. It drives you up a wall, and I can't stop. I can't stop thinking about that bullshit Tampa Bay game.
Yeah.
While I'm laying in 110 degree heat.
That was the hottest I've ever been.
Screaming at Captain, more water. More water. While you're watching Nick Foles throw to
Perkins. Exactly.
And it's not even the good Perkins, the restaurant.
Yeah, it's not. You know the
Hold on. So all of a sudden Foles is, my God, not the MVP caliber Super Bowl quarterback we had.
Yeah.
He was throwing to a fucking ham sandwich.
Yep, Perkins.
it was terrible. Yeah. So all of a sudden you get through the Tampa game.
Right.
Got to bring back Carson. Got to bring back Carson. And you bring him back in week three and he gets cracked in the back and all of a sudden that shatters.
Mm-hmm.
Because probably because, and you know this as well as anybody, if you're not playing healthy, you're going to favor something and you're not going to play the way you should. And all of a sudden you're going to make a move the way you wouldn't do it. And you're going to get fucked up even more.
You're going to need hammer time.
You're going to get crushed.
Yeah. Right. But you left out one thing. You had,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say you left out he was pressing a lot, too.
Of course.
Because Nick was on the team.
Of course. Yeah. You didn't know.
Yeah.
And that extension wasn't signed until, you know. He could have been given his walking papers. Mm-hmm. I will go on record right now and say I still think he should have been given his walking papers. I don't want to get rid of the guy that won you the entire thing. Mm-hmm. But let's, again, Diaz, you're right. All right.
What?
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Well, you know, even though you just went off for 4 minutes about it not mattering.
And there's the Diaz mute.
Thank God. There we go.
Diaz.
No, there but I mean, well, it does.
No, hold on. But let's get to it.
Don't get your own about it. Okay. Just tell us what you get.
Will we ever see the magical season again? Clearly, he was going to be the MVP of the league.
Right.
Clear.
All right. 13 touchdowns with 7 interceptions. Does 33. All. Huh?
33.
What
did
I say? 13?
Yeah.
33. Sorry. 33 touchdowns
in 13 games. There you go.
With 7 interceptions. What is the key, Diaz, to that magical sophomore season again?
I mean, the key was all the plays that he made where he, you know, just got out of it. The Washington home game we were at,
God.
The Washington Monday night game, where, like, what was so fun about watching him was he was like a magician, you know, escaping here and, you know, running off for a run here or there, throwing it down to Aguilar. That's great. I think this year they've kind of geared him up to get rid of the ball, get it into these playmakers and get out of it.
Are we sure about that?
I hope so.
Because Hollis is laughing.
I hope so.
Well, the weird thing is I think he'll get the ball out of his hand a little bit quicker because Nick's not there. The person who he was pressing for last year is not there. A lot of those RPO situations will actually go to the running back because early on he was doing pretty decently, and then Josh Adams fumbled a couple of times. So
Adams always seems to fumble a couple times.
Yeah,
and it made Carson.
You gotta go.
You gotta go. Gave pressure to Carson to want to win all the time. So if I'm not gonna give it to him and mess it up for everybody else, so I'm on these RPOs, I'm going to throw the ball and I'm going to throw it into situations and give it up. So it's like, I think he's going to go revert back to being the man. Being the man.
All right.
I think he's going to revert back to being the man.
Pops, but what do you think?
I think he has to find an identity. Just like most quarterbacks, with some of the things that he was doing in that particular year, it led to him getting hurt, unfortunately. And he has to, like he said, he has to learn how to get the ball out of his hand and trust his players a lot more. Just because a guy fumbled here and there, that RPO thing is kind of what separated him between him and Nick Foles.
Right.
To my understanding, with the RPO, they have an option of actually reading the defense and making a determination on whether or not they're going to turn and
That's
hand the
exact,
ball
it's in the
or
name.
Make the pass.
And
with that.
And that was one of the reasons why you saw some immediate success with Carson, where a lot of people didn't want to give him any credit. Yeah. It was because he was running that same type of offense.
You mean Nick?
Well,
Carson.
Oh, yeah.
Carson was running that same type of offense in college, which prepped him for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Actually, last year they led the league in RPO.
Yeah,
I mean, I attribute it to Chip Kelly myself.
That just negated everything you just said.
Before.
I mean, but you have to realize that's where Nick Foles got it from the best.
Yeah, but when you look at the RPO, the thing is, this is what they're reading. When he comes to the line, if there's eight in the box, he's throwing it. If there's seven in the box, he's running because he feels like our guys up front can beat their guys, and we should get some positive yards. There was a couple of times where it was seven in the box, and he was still throwing.
Right.
And when you throw with seven in the box, that means it's an extra hand in coverage.
That's that decision.
Is it possible?
Isn't this a holiday with an extra hand?
Yes.
Is it possible? Hand jobs. Is it possible for Wentz to?
And I went too far. Look at Rexy covering up.
Deepest apologies.
Is it possible for Wentz to be somewhat of the same player out of the pocket, running with his legs, and just stopping the play earlier by sliding? Or is it just nature for him to dive forward, you know, take the hit and try and keep going?
It's a monumentally important question.
Right. Exactly.
Like, yes, it is.
I don't want to take his soul away of what he does, but then it's once he gets off, it's like, okay, get 5 yards and down.
Well, this is the particular reason why I like Nick over him. Mm-hmm. Simply because Nick gets rid of the ball less than 3 seconds. He doesn't give the defense an opportunity to hit him. Unless he's blindside corner blitz, he's getting rid of that ball before he gets touched.
It's a business decision.
when you look at it too, what Carson has to realize also is he's a big guy. But this is not 1AA college. You got some men out there coming to kick your ass. It's like, and so you have to make that business decision and get down.
How much bigger is Rex than Carson Wentz?
Not that much bigger.
Really?
I told you.
He's taller.
I'm 6'3". Carson's 6'5".
Carson's 6'5". He's about 250.
But Rex is a little bit more stacked, right?
Yeah, he's thicker.
And he looks like a little man next to you.
I'm coming to hit him. You're not going against 1AA people anymore. That's what he has to realize also. And until he realizes that, I just don't want him to get hurt, put it that way.
Okay, Rex.
I was just going to say, Carson's much more agile than Nick, but Nick's more durable than him.
Well, Nick doesn't get hit as much. Nick gets rid of the ball. That's Nick's MO. Nick is Tom Brady in that fashion.
Oh, okay.
Tom, no.
I know what he's saying.
Hold on a second. And don't give me any shit about it. All right. Guess what Nick Foles has?
I'll just give you the toilet paper.
Fair enough. But that's the difference between the two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And that is what builds longevity in the league.
Yeah.
You know why Tom Brady doesn't get injured as much? Because he doesn't get hit.
Right, he gets rid of the ball.
He gets rid of the ball.
We're bringing up Nick Foles a lot here.
Oh, my God. You used to date him?
He's gone. We don't need to talk about him.
And let's talk about our other.
Yeah.
All right, because let's two more to get to, and then we got to get – well, we already know what you got off your chest.
Yeah.
All right, we talked about Josh last week.
Yes. Okay.
And we all agreed that we're pretty happy with that move.
Yep, comfortable.
Here's what I want to know, and I gotta be honest with you, I never paid much attention to his career. And you know, when was he drafted? 2001,
something like that.
He's damn near 20 years in the league.
Yeah.
What was the mitigating factor or factors that kept him from succeeding in the NFL. Was it bad teams that put nothing around him, or was it himself that couldn't get out of his own way?
I would say more so of the first. If you look at the teams, I did look at the teams.
They're really brutal teams.
They're brutal teams. Now, was that holding him back? I don't think he was any kind of elite guy. Probably one of those, you know, last third, like a Kyle Orton, like a guy who, if he's your starter, you're not really getting too excited. But he can hold the fourth down for a year or two or something like that, you know, until you get your guy. No one's going to build around Josh McCown. They're not trying to build around that player.
Not at this point.
Right.
Or ever. But what about the early Hollis, you have something to say?
Well, the part where I was going to say is you got to go back to when he was with Chicago and he had some quality weapons around. He was able to be not an elite
He had Alshon, and he was able to be a really good quarterback.
And that's really all you need as your backup is a really good quarterback to hold the fort down until your quarterback comes back.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I'm not buying it. Coming out. I mean, with Phoenix, he had enough weapons because I believe a lot of those guys that were on the roster.
I don't even remember who was on the roster.
Was Rob Moore on the roster then?
I think
Rob Moore and Frank Sanders.
Anquan Boldin, I believe.
Was Anquan Boldin there?
I believe so.
Fitzgerald had to.
Oh my God, Boldin had to have been there at least for one or two of
those seasons.
Cardinals
went to the Super Bowl with
Kurt Warner.
Right. And what year was that?
08-09.
08-09.
The one that we lost to in the NFC Championship game?
Was he there?
I think they drafted
Fitzgerald.
2005. He was going to 2005.
Yeah, so when did Fitzgerald?
All right, you guys, this isn't the dinner table.
Okay.
You won one or the other.
I get the big piece of chicken.
There you go again.
I'm just going to ask.
I'm going to point it out. I'm going to mute one of you.
Just let them know. I get the big piece of chicken.
I'll let everybody know that in some strange fashion, you're bigger than he is. And that ain't easy to accomplish.
I'm a man. And I win.
The weird thing is, though, I just saw this morning. The Eagles have agreed for Josh McCown on Fridays after practice. He's flying down to Charlotte to continue coaching his 17-year-old's team on Friday.
That's great.
Yeah. But he leaves, he takes a red eye, Friday night. They're flying. He goes down there. Yeah.
Why not?
Well, yeah, because he committed to that before they brought him back.
So that's right.
It's like it's kind of fun to teach coaching high
school. I'm sorry. Can we go over the addendum to your contract again? You have to fly out when to coach your son's – anyway.
We're planning on Wentz not getting hurt this year, so he would be going into every game as a backup. I'm sure that would change if he had to start a game.
I got to be honest with you. Yeah. What? Okay. And here is the question that has to be asked and has to be answered. What makes you think that Carson Wentz will get through this season without an injury because he has had one every year for the last 4 years?
It's a funny argument because I pose this. Some people don't get the parallels at all. They can't figure it out because they're two separate sports.
That's because most people are perpendicular.
Right. So we got 2016.
I just wanted to throw some geometry out there, baby. That's it. We're not going to go into a parallelogram, but go ahead.
It's just like saying there is no – if you believe he can, and I believe he can, I have no proof to say so. There's nothing you could point to. I think Ben Simmons at one point in his career will get a jump shot. And I can't believe this is
the hell did that come from?
Jeez. Hold up.
Everybody's
just bear with
me. Got to put it in.
Hey, bear with me.
What is he drinking?
Listen, it's been over an hour. We haven't brought up the Sixers. This is record time for me. 2016, Ben Simmons drafted first overall. Carson Wentz drafted second overall. Oh my God. Both with the same flaws right now we're worried about. Let me tell you, listen. At the time, Ben Simmons can't shoot. At the time, Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. And he hasn't stayed healthy. Right?
What?
But he has not stayed healthy. You guys don't see any parallels in these two narratives.
No, I could have took you saying, I believe he's going to stay healthy just because I feel like he's learned mistakes.
I'm not true.
I mean, but I could say I feel like Ben Simmons will start shooting because I've seen him start shooting. I feel like
he's
learning.
My God, if we get on Ben Simmons right now, all of you are getting muted.
Please, no.
Every single one of you.
We'll stay on Carson Wentz. It's fine, but there is nothing you. Yeah, I hear you. But there's no actual.
Okay, so awesome that we have decided to make sure this show lasts an hour because Rexy and I have business to attend to over at Delilah's tonight.
Good things, Mazel Mazel.
Mazel. And this is to benefit everybody. Yeah. But, okay, so quick questions.
Yes.
Can Josh perform well with this team because it has more weapons, even at 40 years old?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Do we agree on that?
I agree
yes.
on that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially with the running back core.
In the a hold the fort yeah. down kind of way.
Yeah. Balanced yeah. attack.
Has he kept himself in shape? He looks like
yeah, he's in good shape.
I mean, honestly.
Look at that hair.
He looks like Drago.
Yeah, I was going to say. The crimson chin. I was going
to
say that.
The crimson chin.
All right, real quick, and then we're going to get to our making money segment. Nate Sudfeld. All right, not back till week 4 or 5 now? Is that accurate?
It's about, yeah. I mean, week 4 is a Thursday night game, so they would probably, you know, just hold him out.
The organization loves him. What have we seen from him that would suggest he is a valuable component in this lineup? And I get it. Mm-hmm. I know. He's now the second, or he's now the third string quarterback. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you've got a guy prone to injury.
Mm-hmm.
You got a 40-year-old backing him up.
Right.
I got to be honest with you. I don't want to say it, but I bet Nate Sudfeld is on the field at some point in time this year. And it's the ugliest and eeriest and I have always been right segment that I don't want to visit.
Well, you remember A.J. Touchy-Feely getting on the field?
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember him in Avalon trying to bang out every broad I was trying to sleep with.
Well, because he was a third-string quarterback that year. Remember, because everybody.
And you remember your fat ass coach deciding that the best thing to do while Brian Westbrook was gaining 4 to 5 yards every play.
Is that we talking about New England 2007? Yeah. It was cold as shit there, man.
We had that game.
We did.
Big we time. Had 500 people up for that game, and we played whale's tails all afternoon.
It was so
that
fucking cold.
Oh, son of a bitch. Ah, and then A.J. Feely throws a pick.
2.5 minutes.
It was 2.5 minutes. Run that clock out. Oh, my God. Let's see. What's the best thing to do? Put the hands of Tom Brady. Put the ball in the hands of Tom Brady right before.
Yo, I got the answer for you. Nate Sudfeld will see the field this year, week 17 in New York, because we've closed out the NFC.
All right.
There you go.
Cool.
All right.
That's
cool.
Fair.
There's a solution.
Guess what? That means we don't have to run a trip up there.
That's right.
I hate that swamp.
There's a lot of little intricacies of the Green Legion, but let me tell you, if there's any inclination from anything that we put out that we might go to shitty ass MetLife Stadium, Quimby is on that. No, we are not doing that. We are not going.
Nope.
We are not going.
MetLife is horrible.
It is. I was there for the Jets game.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Chris just said, here we go again with the jump shot.
Hey, man, that's a good throw in there, man.
No, it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm. House.
Yes, sir.
Got any picks for us, baby?
I got the picks for you today. I picked these slightly with my heart, but more so with my mind. I'm 22-12 currently.
22-12.
Hell yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah, thanks. I've had a run of luck over the last weeks.
Nice.
So we got the Cubs playing the Mets. I feel like the Cubs are going to kick the Mets' ass, and we really need them to kick their ass anyway. But the Cubs have been playing some quality baseball.
No, we need the Mets to kick Cubs' ass.
No, we need because if the Mets catch us,
we need to gain games on the Cubs, who are currently in the second spot. We're right behind them.
Well, we're not going to gain on this. The Cubs will kick their ass.
All right.
Sorry.
Hold on a second, everybody. Gabe is talking, and he is sexy.
Well, brother.
He's great.
I got the next game I got with the L.A. Dodgers versus Arizona. I took the over because the L.A. is probably going to run them out the gym. Take the Dodgers and over. They have San Diego and San Fran. We got to see both of them up close. I feel like I'm going to take the under, but I'm going to take San Diego with the under.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what
we're going to have some real games to talk about.
Yeah. I'll be glad when that happens. Yeah.
Next week.
Yes.
And you guys, we will be back to our normally scheduled 8 p.m. on Wednesday. But do keep in mind, next week's 8 p.m. Wednesday show will be the last for the rest of the season, which hopefully will last into mid-February.
Hell yeah.
That's right.
Anybody else want to get something off their chest? Pops, you already did.
I'm done.
Diaz.
Yeah, I do. I got something to get off my chest.
Oh, God.
It's been eating at me. So tomorrow is the official Green Legion Big Boys League fantasy football draft. Now, let me, everyone, you know, no one cares about your fantasy team is my motto, you know, but of course everyone talks about their fantasy team. Let me tell you about this last year. What happened to me last year, me and another person in this league.
You have that, gotta be
no, no, let me tell you this. If any of you Neanderthals are out there still playing without fractional point scoring, change that shit, because for years I'm like, this is ridiculous. There's ties in our league, and I got to the final last year with up 4 points with freaking Jared Cook that Christmas game. And how many points did Jared Cook score for the other guy? 4 points. If it was fractional, I would have won by like 4.6 points. But we have to do the whole thing. So, of course, we switched it this year to fractional. Fractional points only, or you're a bunch of bitches.
Okay, hold on a second.
Thanks, Dick.
I have a response to that.
Of course you do, old
the man. The entire fucking league and anything you wanted to change was up for debate in the beginning of the draft last year, and you did not mention...
I do it every year.
Fractional points.
That's ridiculous.
You didn't mention
I do
fractional
it every...
points at all. No, you didn't.
Yes, I
no,
do it every didn't. Freaking year.
No, you didn't.
That is a
no,
lie.
You did
that
not.
Is a lie, sir.
We're going to bring that up tomorrow.
Kids.
And I'm going to have duct tape. And when you're wrong, we're japping you.
I don't know what that means, but you know, we're a family
good.
Friend.
It's not good.
It's not good.
Go if back you and plan on having any leg hair left, you might want to revisit that idea. And, by the way, you and your boy, who tied, if he was your boy like he said he is, then he should have given it to you anyway.
No. I know. He gave me. We split the winnings.
That's not giving you the championship in which you deserve. And if you have looked already, fucking dickhead, yours and his name is already on the trophy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can't wait for you two to kiss the trophy together.
That's all I need.
And wind up sliding tongues like you guys will at some point
he's
in time
gonna
anyway.
He's going to be so pissed. It's going to be great. Good work. Thanks, Quimby. That thanks for backing me up in my being right.
Go
see, I'm
hell.
Always right. It's great. Anyway,
to
sorry
hell.
To drone.
Rexy.
I just want to say I was glad last year that I beat Diaz in fantasy football. It's one of my few wins.
This is not getting off your chest.
It was well, now that I...
If we want to have final thoughts, we'll talk about that. And we'll get into leadership, too.
You want to talk about leadership? You want to talk about leadership? Someone needs to get in Reese's head and make him a winner.